Well, if you've been here last week and the week before, you know we've been teaching on John 15. And we've taught about the relationship of believers to Christ. We've taught about the relationship of believers to other believers. And tonight, we're going to talk about the relationship of believers to the world. In other words, the attitude that we have and should have towards the world. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would know its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That makes pretty much sense to me. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. You see, if you have the word, you're responsible for what you have heard. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one did, they would have no sin. No one else did. They would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, glory to God, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness. Disciples will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So I wanted to look at some of the words that we have in this part of Scripture. And the first one that stuck out to me was hate. We use the word hate. Oh, I hate that kind of dessert. Or you love it. Or you hate that car. Or you hate that person. But let me tell you what it means. It's a Greek word, and it's spelled M-I-S-E-O. It's a strong word, hate. Hate is used maliciously, and it has unjustifiable feelings toward others. Towards the innocent, and it means to persecute. I read tonight in Billy Graham's Decision magazine that last year there were more killings of Christians in that year than ever before, over 7,000. And of course they were including the Muslim countries, but they also said that North Korea was probably the top of the list. Hate. Hate is violent. Hate is something that can stir up on the inside of you, and before you know it, there's a root of bitterness, and you don't even feel the same anymore, and you don't even know where God is anymore, because when you pray, your prayers are kind of bouncing off the ceiling rather than having that sweet communion with the Father that the Lord Jesus Christ said we can have. We're not supposed to be surprised when persecution comes near us. Most of us are, and most of us, I would say, in this room are not receiving too much persecution or hate from anyone. So why does the world hate us? Well, he tells us right there. Because they persecuted him and hated him, they will hate us, his disciples. And our light exposes darkness around us. A long time ago when I was going to Bible school, I had to go to the other side of town, and I was hungry. It was around lunchtime, so I stopped in at the first little diner that I saw. And I went in, and I sat at the counter, and I ordered something. But I felt an atmosphere around me, and I knew that my anointing was moving out because their anointing was the world's. And I could tell a major difference. Have you ever noticed that? Dweller, where you work, have you ever noticed that there's a different spirit sometimes? Why else does the world hate us? The world is blind. By whose minds the God of this age is blinded who do not believe. 2 Corinthians 4:4. They're groping in the dark. They have no understanding of what is light, what is the shepherd, who is God. They are in darkness, and they do not know the way. And the world is ignorant of our Christian experience unless we share it. John 17:14 says, I have given your word. That's Jesus speaking. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Only when we stay connected to the vine and we stay in the presence of God does the world even recognize anything different about us. When we are all connected one to another, the glory of God can be revealed because we are all light. And in that light, we are shedding it out on other people, on the person sitting next to you, on the person down the road, on the person that you work with. The only thing we are supposed to hate is what God hates, and that's sin. That's unforgiveness. That is lawlessness. Look at the next word that I saw, world. 1 John 2:15. That is the Greek word cosmos. It means power, constant lifting up of oneself, all the vanities of the world. It also means self-righteousness. I have met a few people in my life that they have told me they are self-made. Nobody helped them get anywhere. And I said, really? Well, let me tell you a little thing. Whether you know it or not, God was there all the time. Whether you recognized him or not, you were being vain. I don't think I said that. But it was the unrighteousness of God that was being permeated in that car. The word says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So what are we talking about, these three things that are all part of the world and the world system? Lust of the flesh. You find that in Galatians 5:22. There's a lot of it. I have to say that my flesh, every once in a while, has been in one of these categories. Hatred, strife, wrath, heresies. The carnal nature, the old man that wants to rise up, even though you have already buried him, he wants to come back up, hang around, and cause you to be carnal. That's one of the things in the world. What about the lust of the eyes? You're watching television. It's a nice little program. And all of a sudden, Victoria's Secret comes flashing across. And you want to look a little bit longer. Matter of fact, maybe we'll replay that part. It's the lust of the eyes, covetousness, evil, even food. Now I want you to say that. The lust of the eyes means even food. Say it. The lust of the eyes means even food. The pride of life, self-righteousness, power, constant lifting up yourself. I did this, I did that. Wow, I was so good at that. I played this little bowling game on the Wii, and I got the high score. I'm the bowling Wii champion by 1 point. But I counted, you know. The present condition of this world, I think everybody would agree with me, is not very good. Amen. Yeah. It's alienated and opposed to God. And if we don't do something about it in prayer, it's going to stay that way or maybe even get worse. So we need to pray about the world and the present condition, because worldliness is a love of the world system, which is under the control of Satan, the god of this world. You are either conforming to the Word of God by being in the Word, or you're conforming to the world by living amongst the people in the world and acting like them, or you are being transformed from glory to glory, just like Jesus said he wants his disciples to be changed, changed, changed into his likeness. You can't be in two places at the same time. Some people walk the fence. If they're at work with their men friends, this is from experience, they'll walk along and somebody will be telling a dirty joke. Well, you may cringe on the inside, but do you do anything about it? Or do you just go, very funny, you know? You're moving in one direction or the other. What direction do we want to walk in? The walk of God, right? John 15:18-19. I believe this is the Message Bible. The world, unredeemed society, estranged from God, held in the grip of sin and the evil one, blind to spiritual truth and hostile to the life of God in them. James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, hostility with God? We don't want to be there, do we? None of us do. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I'm not going to be an enemy of God. My life is too short to be an enemy of God. Whatever time I've got left, I'm going to be a friend of God. That's what he calls us, friends. If we are disciples, we are friends, not servants anymore, although there is a servanthood that we are to be in, but we are called friends because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. Persecute was the next word. Harass or destroy unjustly for faith in God. Suffering for being a Christian does not mean that you have to get sick. Suffering as a Christian is a trial that you may go through. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Anybody going through a trial right now? You can raise your hand. Okay. Well, don't be surprised. And it's probably nothing new. You've probably gone through something like that before. And we're told that instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ. Hallelujah. So in his suffering, you have the wonderful joy of knowing that His glory is being revealed in you to the world. And it says, be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian. Well, I don't know that I've gotten to that state of maturity yet. I'm working on it. But I have been called, what's that word? Frantic, not, you know, what is it? Fanatic, that's it. Yeah, fanatic for God, or just plain crazy, or you just don't make any sense. And I don't know that I ever felt that was a thing to be happy about, but I did pray about it afterwards. And I realized that because I was being called crazy, fanatic for Jesus, that I was going to be blessed. And I said, okay, let me out there. Let me get them. I want to talk to them about Jesus. If they understand or they don't understand. So why is this hatred and persecution? Because, first off, they did it to Jesus. His disciples were persecuted. And every one of the disciples of Jesus since that time to this day and on will most likely have some persecution at some time in your life. And it may even come from your own family. But we've got good news. Yeah. Finally getting to the good news. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Christ, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Standby, the Advocate. We have our own attorney. Thank you. So why are we here? Because we've been given a responsibility. That responsibility is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. I have a go ye call, and I think there are a couple in here that also have a go ye call. So when you see that, you say, I'm going wherever he sends me. Hallelujah. Okay, every time, is Matthew 5:11. Every time someone puts you down, throws you out, or speaks lies about you to discredit you, they're discrediting Jesus. And the reason they're doing it is because you're getting too close to the truth. And they are uncomfortable. You see, we are the light of the world. Remember that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Yeah. Now, our light should be getting bigger as we mature in the Spirit. And June said, in Jamaica, even to the children, they don't have just a little baby spirit. No, they have the Holy Spirit also. And so I was so glad to hear that because I thought maybe they had a little spirit. You are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, you lose your seasoning, what good are you going to be when it comes to fighting off the adversary, when it comes to ministering to others, to letting your light shine or your salt be out there sprinkled all over? You won't. Because if you lose your saltiness, you won't taste godliness. So you lose your usefulness and you end up in the garbage. I think this must have been from the Message Bible. Salt is a preservative. It's a chemical and a seasoning. But if left on the bare ground or exposed to the sun and the rain, it loses its flavor and becomes worthless. So in our lives, if we want to be salt, what do we have to do? Stay hooked up. Stay salty. Be light. Have you ever gone from a bright day with sunglasses on and you go into your house and all of a sudden you can't see anything? That's what it's like for the world and those that live in the world and act like the world. They're blinded. But we're not. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. We are light. We are salt. We are everything that God has put in us so that we can partake of the gospel of Jesus Christ and present it to people. We are here to bring out the God colors on this earth. We are here to bring out God's harmonies. Hallelujah. We are here to do what he's told us to do. Go into all the world. Why? Where is your world? It may be where you work. It may be in the grocery store when you go to buy groceries. Where is your world? It's all around you. Wherever you are, the world is there. I'm sorry about that, but it is. And so, don't fear the faces. Just be kind. You're a fanatic. Be loving, compassionate. Most of the world is hurting. And they are hurting and knowing something is going on around us and in the world. And they are asking, what is going on? And we have the answer. We can tell them that it is the end of the age. We can tell them that we have the answer, Jesus Christ. He is the answer to a hurting world and a world that is persecuting us, trying to get us on the internet into all kinds of mischief. Suppose you have a testimony. Everybody in this room has a testimony. And you have an opportunity to share it. You don't have to preach at somebody. You can just say, can I tell you what happened to me in my life? How God came in and changed my life? We were in a Mexican restaurant a few years ago, and the waitress came over, and I just asked her, can I share my testimony with you, what God did for me? And I began to share it, because she said yes, and it wasn't busy. And so at the end of it, she was crying, and she received. That is a simple way. Just tell your testimony, what God has done for you. Pray for them. Holy Spirit then will woo them and convict the world of sin to bring them to repentance and to salvation. And when you are abiding in the vine and he and his word are living in you, your righteousness goes before you. I used to be a secretary. Today they call it executive secretary or administrative assistant. And I was in a job, and I was sitting at my desk doing my stuff, and over there was the office where all the managers were meeting. So I was trying to pay attention to what I was supposed to be doing on the computer, and I started hearing all kinds of curse words coming from that office. They were obviously upset about something. Well, I just sat there doing my stuff. And the manager came out, and he apologized to me for the language of the world that was going on in that room. I didn't have to say anything. My righteousness prepared the way for me. So what do we do when somebody does persecute us? Under the law, Leviticus 19:18, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, sure made sense then, didn't it? But then Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Believers ought to love their enemies, but not the sin. You have to be able to separate the person from the sin. Because God still loves that person. You may not believe it, but it's true. He loves that person, not the sin, but the person. Wicked people living under the power of the devil will hate the Lord Jesus. We know that. His followers and their righteous deeds. But the Christian is not to strike back. We are chosen out of this world. We are chosen to be in the kingdom of light, not the kingdom of darkness. We've been translated from one world into another. And I praise God that the Holy Spirit has come and he moved me. God moved me from over here to over there because I don't want to go back to that old life. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun and it was all wrong. So Romans 12:14 tells us, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, let me tell you something that happened to me today. I was driving to my little singing group, and I was going up the ramp on Woodlands Parkway. And this person in his vehicle, it wasn't even a vehicle, it was like a truck, comes... I mean, is a truck a vehicle? Really? Tell me, Pastor, is a truck a vehicle? I'm talking about one of those big ram things, you know. And he comes and he swerves around me, almost pushing me into the wall on the side there. Well, he got past me. I mean, I didn't try to fight him. He cut me off on that ramp. And the first thought was, you jerk. I hope you get a ticket. But then I thought about God's words. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one for evil. He did evil in my sight. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Praise God. So, what do we do? What do we do when we have someone that is really nasty to us? Maybe you don't have anybody like that. You have a really nasty person. I do too. He said, no. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For if in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I've never studied that out, but it doesn't sound good to me. Do not overcome evil with evil. Haven't you ever wanted to just go smack, smack? No, nobody here because you're all saints. I know. You're going to get your sainthood pretty soon from Pope. You're going to be sainted. Going a little far. Anyway, I will praise you, Holy Spirit, that you lead me as a child of God and that by obeying you, which is what I did today, I changed what I was going to do. Instead, I blessed this person. And that by obeying you, I am able to cut the nerve of my instinctive actions and am on the way to real living. We want to go there, don't we? We want to be in that place of real living. We want to be walking in the presence of God. We want to be sharing with Him every minute. So let me tell you a true story. The others were true too, but in case you were wondering. On January 25th, 1934, a German clergyman named Martin Niemöller confronted Adolf Hitler face to face in the name of Jesus. As a result, he was seized by the Gestapo and was held in solitary confinement. On the morning of his trial, he was led from the cell by a green uniformed official. So as the two men walked through the eerie underground passageway, the clergyman felt an overwhelming fear. Suddenly, he heard a whispered voice. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So when the garbage starts falling all around, where do you go? You run into the strong tower. You stay connected to the vine. Get that sap out of there. His words need to abide in you. You need to abide in Him. If you're not doing that, you won't have the ability to go on when persecution comes. It was the guard speaking under his breath. And at those words, the clergyman's fear vanished. It was replaced by indescribable peace that didn't leave him even during the dark days to come. We have been warned that prior to Christ's return, the days will be perilous. I think we're seeing some of that now, but it's going to be more. But even when things seem chaotic, the name of Jesus Christ is our strong tower. God's purpose will guide us. His promises will sustain us. But this warning of persecution was given in order to strengthen our faith. How can it do that? Well, you have to get in the Word. You have to find out what God has to say about this. You can't just be out of the Word and expect the Word to come up out of your mouth. You know what'll come up out of your mouth if you're not in the Word. Thank you for that. Our relationship with the world is not to be one of tolerance. It's a word we hear a lot about. Acceptance. I saw an article today in Decision Magazine where they're making it very confusing for young children and or adults to know which restroom to go into. They have male, female, and question mark. Compromise. No. Don't compromise your faith. If you're in the elevator with some people that are cursing, do what I did. I was right up front. I was about this high. And they were cursing and blaspheming, and I said, "Glory to God." Well, that shut everything up. You could have heard a pin drop. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. That's me. So, no compromise. Okay, stand up for who you are in Christ. Don't let the world's hatred and the world's persecution just make you get smaller and smaller. No. The Holy Ghost has come and lives on the inside of each of you. So you need to be able to stand up and shout out, "Glory to God!" That'll put a stop to some of the language that we hear. So we've been given the Great Commission is go. We've been given a new commandment that we love one another as Christ has loved us. And we are to stand firm in our faith, rooted, established, immovable, and determined to withstand the slings and arrows of the devil. That's why we have the armor. I try to put my armor on every day before I get my feet out of bed, because I know when I get up, the devil says, "Oh no, she's getting up again." So I have my armor on for the first sling that he tries to throw. So whatever may come against us, we can know that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Romans 8:37. What is more than a conqueror? We are, yes, we are. But what does it mean? It means a battle has been fought. It's been won. So we are more than the conquerors because he's already conquered everything. More than a conqueror. And as his disciples, which we all are, we've got to be an example of the truth for the world and for the word that we preach. With your relationship right and correct, there'll flow rivers of living water.